All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? You guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars.
We put the picture's name on everything.
Oh, look, he's got a billion toys.
Baseball's the t-shirt.
What about movies like Forbidden Planet, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Solaris? What about Logan's Run?
Baseball's the lunchbox.
I have to possess this comic.
Baseball's the breakfast cereal.
I have a Mego Isis action figure.
Almighty Isis?
Baseball's the coloring book.
I say we stay here and fight it out.
Shut up, kid. You weren't even born when Star Wars came out.
You fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics he can't start some shit? I'll fucking take all you want!
Attention. The following information is considered spoiler material.
Spoiler alert? We never start the show with a spoiler alert.
Well, this is a special occasion.
Why? And why the house music first? This is what happens when I turn the reins of the pre-show setup over to you. We get these crazy things.
Well, look,
it's not like that episode where, where we used Horse with No Name and you just didn't get it the whole time.
I still don't get it.
I know.
What episode was that?
I don't even know.
Wait, hold on. Back to the spoiler alert.
Okay.
So if you haven't seen last week's episode of House, don't listen now. Like, plug your ears, pause the recording.
That's right.
Walk away from your machine for a couple minutes.
Forward it a little.
Yeah. And
I think you were the only person who hadn't seen that episode of House.
No, that is absolutely 100% not true.
Well, what we want to talk about is the fact that Kuttner, Cal Penn, unbeknownst to us, I mean, they've dropped hints here and there, but unbeknownst to us, was a geek.
Yes.
I think that's the big surprise, the big spoiler.
Huge geek.
Yeah, he had the tintype robots.
He had the Colonial Gun replica, right?
Yeah,
from
Battlestar Galactica.
It was nice.
It was a nice piece. And he had when they first walked in the apartment, you could see like little robots in the foreground, kind of the old tintype robots.
Yeah, they make allusions to him being at some comic book conventions.
Yes, yes.
So he was a geek, but that's not what we're, that's not
Oh,
the
that's
spoiler.
Not the issue?
No.
Oh.
No. The spoiler is that Cal Penn Kuttner shoots himself in the head.
You don't know that it was in the head, sir.
They say that he had a bullet wound in his temple.
Oh, they did?
Yeah.
I just thought that they said that he...
No, Cuddy says that there was a bullet wound to the temple and they found fragments.
Oh, okay.
So he shot himself in the head, did.
Yes, and we should say that, I mean, not for nothing, he had a good reason for doing it.
He did have a good reason for doing it.
The actor, we should say.
Yes.
Not the character, because
the character.
We don't know.
We don't know why the character did it.
Which is what makes the episode fantastic, is because neither does House.
There's no resolution
and
to
it's
it.
Not going to be resolved. I just see this is going on and on for at least 2 more weeks, I'm
Absolutely.
Guessing.
So tell them why he left the show, and then we'll go on to why I'm angry.
Cal Penn was hired by President Barack Obama.
Right.
To work in the White House in some office of public relations or something like that, which is actually not in the White House per se. It's in the little White House next to it, which used to be the office part
slaves quarters.
I don't think it was the slaves quarters.
No. Oh, okay.
I think it was actually the executive office.
Oh, all right.
That's what it was. Yeah.
So that's why
he was leaving the
show. That's why he was leaving the show.
Yeah, and I've read interviews or at least a couple little spots online where he has said that he was interested in politics and this is something he has been interested in getting involved
in. And this isn't the first inkling that we've had of this. I mean, it's been kind of ongoing for a while, during the campaign election.
Right, he worked a lot on the campaign.
So
it was many of the time where we'd be watching some rally or something and we'd be like, is that Kumar?
Yeah. What is he doing there?
This is before he was Kuttner, he was Kumar. So that was a little upsetting.
So Variety.com.
Yeah, this is your beef.
Entertainment website.
Uh-huh.
You know, very familiar with what goes on
in
the media and entertainment world. Has a nice website, constantly posts stories and updates.
Uh-huh.
Has a great article that they have right on their front page about Cal Penn, you know, going on to bigger and better things, a political career. And in the first sentence As soon as you click the link
right.
to the article, the first thing is in this week's episode where the character of Kuttner dies, and then I stopped.
Right.
That's all I had to see.
Yeah. Did they publish that before the episode was aired?
No, it was the day after the episode was aired.
Okay.
But in a world where people do not watch TV on the night that it's on.
In a world.
Exactly. And we rely on DVR and TiVo and all of these other forms of technology to watch shows after they air. How do you not at least put a spoiler alert? At least say that this contains spoil. There are other responsible media outlets that will say the following article contains spoilers, or if you haven't seen this week's episode, don't read past this point. You don't just open the article in the first four words and blow that for this was the next day. The next day,
dude.
Girl, I was pissed.
Girl in the Crying Game, a dude.
Yeah. I heard about that.
Darth Vader, Luke's father.
I heard about that one too. That one wasn't spoiled for me.
That was actually a very funny joke in The Simpsons.
When
they came out of seeing Empire Strikes Back, and there are 100 people waiting online, and Homer goes, "I can't believe that Darth Vader is Luke Skywalker's father," and everybody was all.
Do you go to EW.com at all?
I do on occasion.
There was an article on their website today about how David Prowse is crying that he didn't make a lot of money in Return of the Jedi.
Just Return of the Jedi?
I guess, yeah.
It wasn't all of them.
I understand that, but at least from what I read briefly, it was Jedi that he was talking about. I didn't read the whole article, but
all his autographs are the real Darth Vader or whatever the heck he writes. And it's just like, dude, please stop. Right.
Going back though.
Yes.
Do you not agree that they should have put a spoiler warning up there?
I agree.
I mean,
you're a little upset.
I think I should be upset. I have a right to be upset.
I know what week of the month it is. So
it has nothing to do with that.
I'm just saying.
I'm not bleeding.
Just saying.
All right.
But this is a long introduction to Big Kev's Geek Stuff episode 143.
I'm still pissed.
And before I announce the name, I want to ask you a very important question.
I don't want to answer it. I'm afraid.
You have to answer it. Here comes the question.
Okay.
Do you like fish sticks?
Yes.
Okay, so you put fish sticks in your mouth.
This is retarded.
You put fish sticks in your mouth.
Yes.
So are you a gay fish?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
I'm a blowfish.
Oh, there's a direction that I hadn't seen that joke going in. Of course, that was one of the big topics on South Park last night.
Oh, all right. That's why I didn't get it.
I know, because you haven't seen it.
Because it's on my DVR?
I'm spoiling
now
it for you.
Now you've spoiled it.
I am the Hollywood Reporter.
You are the bastard this time around.
And that said, we're going to call this one Kuttner and Fish Sticks.
You know, we're looking over another death. Should we save that for later?
Yeah, let's save it for the appropriate time.
Okay.
And without further ado, now that OG has been able to blow off that steam over being spoiled, let's get right into the news portion of the show. Do you have some news?
Roger Friedman from Fox was fired.
Okay.
Do you know who Roger Friedman is?
The guy from Fox?
He's the guy that wrote the Wolverine review.
Oh, yes. Yes, I did hear about this.
And although it was a good review of the film, they still fired his ass.
Yep.
And that's good. Kudos to Fox for doing that. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
I mean, they are by doing that, they set the precedent that they're not taking this lightly, that the film is leaked.
Yeah. And we should say that too, that he actually reviewed the leaked copy of the film.
Which a lot of other no name
no name, ain't it cool news types.
Yeah, no, I don't think they reviewed it.
Oh, maybe they didn't. But
some other movie guys may have.
Right.
And they don't really count. But this guy works for Fox. He's a big name. I mean, he does a lot of media entertainment reviews and a lot of that type of reporting for them. It's a big deal that he admits to downloading a legal copy of the film, watching it, and then reviewing it, good or bad.
And moreover, they say Hugh Jackman is devastated.
I read an article with him today also. He is heartbroken.
Yeah.
At least he said it's like an unpainted Ferrari or something
like that.
Something like that was his quote.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
He's devastated, and rightly so, because now, look, it was downloaded over 100,000 times.
Right, before the FBI intervened and figured out how to stop it.
Yeah, but, I mean, let's be honest, that 100,000 times, you got to multiply that by at least two or three from people that burned it and passed it around. I myself have already seen it, not the movie. I myself have already seen it being passed around. Yeah,
or the number of people that sat in a room and watched it together.
Exactly.
No one watches that by themselves. It's call everybody you know.
Right.
Come over. I've got a copy.
And that said, are those people now going to go to pay to see that movie? I think, sadly, many of them probably won't go to see that movie.
Well, and I think I said that last week. I think I said that the saddest part about this is that a lot of people are going to make judgments on the film based on seeing something that wasn't ready to be seen.
Right. So
even if it does happen to stink.
Right. We'll put this out to the listeners too. Did you see the downloaded version of the X-Men Origins Wolverine movie? Go over to our website, bigkevsgeekstuff.com, and you can drop a comment there. Or you can give us a call at our hotline,
425-920-6050.
Yeah, and let us leave us a message on what you thought of it there. There's a lot of stuff you can do over there at bigkevsgeekstuff.com. You
should sure.
buy the official t-shirt. You can do all sorts of checking
fun
out
and
episodes
exciting stuff.
And video things.
New Studio V went up this week.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah. No one sent me a link.
Went up last night.
Oh, which one is it?
It is the DC Direct 1/6 scale Rorschach.
Oh, yes. Figure. Oh, we had a good time with that.
Yeah,
one,
we did.
I recall. Very good. And also, we should announce that we did say last week we would be making some staffing announcements.
Right.
And we are going to make those announcements right now.
Okay.
As we reorganize the video portion of the show.
Right.
We are in all likelihood, going to be back with those video portions in very short order. And that said, we have promoted Production Tim. To executive producer, Tim.
Wow.
Yes.
He moved up quickly.
Tim will be executively producing our future video endeavors, the live version of the show, if we get to that point.
Excellent.
And he's working with his staff on on that project. And seeing as how we are empty one chair over there, we have promoted a brand new person who hasn't really appeared much, if at all, on the show before.
Never appeared on the show itself, but has been mentioned on the show
100
every
times.
Episode yeah. Yeah. or so.
And so taking over the reins in the producer chair from here out, and he'll be with us. Actually, he's here with us now, but he's doing producery paperwork.
Wow, we have paperwork?
Yeah, there's paperwork that has to happen. And therefore...
Coffee filters?
No.
Damn.
Well, only you drink coffee. I don't drink coffee. And that, of course, is Best Buy Billy, or Triple B, as we like to call him.
Right.
Triple B will be taking over as producer of the program, and he'll be on with us next week in full swing up to the quality that I've come to expect from graduates of the Connecticut School of Broadcasting.
Wow.
So, yes.
Nice.
I know. I'm very excited about that.
I feel so grown up.
Yep. It's true. What else you got?
Oh, I'm still talking?
Always.
Jackie Earl Haley.
Uh-huh.
You know who he's going to be now?
No.
The new Freddy Krueger. I ain't even lying. You look perplexed.
I don't know how I feel about
all
that.
All right. So, I am not okay with them making another Nightmare on Elm Street movie.
Right.
Because I don't think that it needs to be done. Much like most modernizations, remakes, revisionings,
right.
et cetera. I don't think they need to be done. I think they're kind of pointless to a certain degree. That being said, I could see him in that role.
Yes.
So, if they have to do it, I think it's a good casting choice.
Yes.
To put him in that role.
Yeah, I would agree. You know, you're kind of wondering after Watchmen where we're going to see Jackie Earle Haley next. And it's clear that he is a great character actor. And as such, you know, you almost expect to see him more in these type of roles. So, yeah, I'm okay with that, believe it or not. Now, is this gonna, are they revamping the franchise a la Friday the 13th?
This is a revamp. This is a start from scratch.
Maybe we'll get an origin story.
Perhaps.
That would be interesting.
We have another casting for that movie now, too.
Okay.
The lead male in the film, who I don't think is actually named.
Oh, I think I know who it is.
Who is it?
Jackie Earl Haley? Because
no.
He's the lead in
the yes. The yes. lead male what? That's not Freddy. The
oh,
lead
oh.
kid. The
oh,
lead
gotcha.
Guy.
Gotcha. Okay.
Is Kyle Gallner, who you probably won't know other than he was Flash on
Smallville?
Smallville.
Uh-huh.
And he's also in The Haunting in Connecticut.
Was it Flash or was it? I thought he was. That wasn't Flash on that show, was it?
Was it not
Flash? Impulse?
No, I think it was Flash.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I could be wrong, but I think it was the Flash.
I thought it was Impulse, but okay, that's fine. Yeah, okay, him?
That kid. He's
okay.
going to be the lead male that is not Freddy.
Gotcha. The All hero right. who will eventually die trying to save the girl. Gotcha.
Eventually die, yes.
Has there been any reports of any of the old people coming back for that?
No.
Okay.
No. But they'll figure out a way to put Robert Englund in there somewhere, you know, be in the
background. Or Heather Langenkamp.
Somehow, some way, someone will be in there. They'll work
the
at
mom.
A school or...
Yeah.
He'll be a guidance counselor.
He'll be a bus driver
yeah.
at the end.
Something
and
dumb.
Some kid gets on a bus and it'll be him driving the bus. And oh, that's... Well, that's interesting news, at least.
All right. Not interesting news? Gary Shandling is going to be in Iron Man 2.
Oh, good God.
But we don't know in what capacity. Rumor is that he's going to be one of the reporters. The film actually is going to start off where the first one ended. So at that press conference,
right.
I am Iron Man, that
right.
bit there.
Yeah.
So the rumor is that he may be one of the reporters that ends up hounding Tony Stark probably throughout the movie in some capacity following the exploits of
Gary Shandling.
Look, I'm just
well,
saying.
Was Richard Lewis not available?
Oh,
like,
God.
Oh,
I'd
God.
Rather have Gary Shandling than Richard
I'd rather
Lewis.
Tie them both up and blow up the house that I tied them up in.
Okay.
Oh, they're both annoying.
A bit violent, but there it is.
Ugh, is there anything else?
In the news?
Yes.
There's always stuff in the news.
Let's have it.
Gore Verbinski?
Wash that dirty taste of Gary Shandling's appearance in Iron Man out of my mouth.
Thank God you said appearance.
I knew where that was going, so I was fixing it up.
Fish sticks?
Just saying.
Jeez. Gore Verbinski?
Yes.
Not doing Pirates 4.
Yeah, I kind of suspected that would happen.
He is going to be working on BioShock, which is a movie that we've heard is been in the works for quite some time.
Up and down and up and down.
Yeah, yeah. So apparently
based on
is,
the video game BioShock.
Correct.
Yeah.
He is leaving the Pirates franchise behind. Disney's not leaving the franchise behind. Gore Verbinski's leaving the franchise behind.
Uh-huh.
And he's moving
Tim
on
Burton
to...
will be...
Now, Tim Burton's working on 9, right? Isn't that his next project
after
Alice in Wonderland?
I think that's done.
Oh, is that finished and that
I think
before
9
Alice?
Is a little animated.
Yeah.
I think that's finished, yeah.
Oh, okay. So maybe it's getting released soon. I don't even know what the release on that is.
I think it's the opposite. I think he was going into Alice in Wonderland
off
once
of 9.
Finished 9.
Okay.
Yeah, cuz I'm pretty sure 9 is done.
So, there's your Pirates update.
Yes, thank goodness.
Thank goodness. Umbrella Academy.
Yes.
Often talked about on this show.
Yes, actually just started reading it. Absolutely a quality effort, a good book from Gerard Way, lead singer of My Chemical Romance, and Gerard Bach, or Gabriel Bach. Gabriel Bach, I think, is the artist's name.
Yes.
Bach.
Universal has picked up the rights to make a film in conjunction with Dark Horse.
Okay.
Is that going to be Dark Horse's first?
No, sir.
What's their first? Is Hellboy?
I don't think Hellboy was.
Because that's not, I mean, it was,
I mean,
it's a Dark Horse
had,
book.
I'm
but
sure they had some affiliation with the Dark Horse, with the Hellboy movies. I don't know exactly at what level, but I think the first kind of Dark Horse official movie was My Name is Bruce.
Oh, yes.
I think.
Okay.
I think.
Okay. Well, Universal Pictures is moving forward with that. They've gotten the writer who did the new Race to Witch Mountain movie for Disney.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be the one working on the script,
right.
Mark Bomback. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure we'll follow that because we follow
Mark
Umbrella
Bombeck.
Academy on the
yes,
show.
Even yes,
though I've never
do.
Read
Very
it.
Exciting.
So I can borrow some of your stuff.
You want to borrow? I got the trade. You
can absolutely. I'll sure. read it before next week.
Terrific.
I'll tell you if I like it or not.
All right. Speaking of books from Dark Horse, I wanted to insert this right here. The Firewolves, a new Hellboy novel by the New York Times bestselling author of Hellboy Unnatural Selection, Tim Lebon.
Okay.
Has come out this week. This is from Dark Horse Comics. It's, you know, again, these Hellboy novels, I think, explore a different aspect, or they give you kind of a different aspect of the character than we see in the comic books. It's just a little different. You know what I mean?
Sure.
And so that one has come out. The Firewolves from Dark Horse. Check it out.
Last week we talked about Clash of the Titans on the show. Some
yes.
casting. And we have more casting this week. Or would appear to be more casting this week. We have a potential Hades for the film. And it would be Ralph Fiennes.
Okay, so this is totally not the Clash of the Titans of the 80s, because there was no Hades in the 80s.
Right. I don't know. This is, I guess it's not a remake. Maybe it's inspired by, or
just a different take
just
on
a
the
different
legend.
Take.
Or, yeah.
I mean, everything that I've read up until recently with some of the casting has been that it was a remake. But then the character we talked about last week was Io, who never actually appeared in the original movie but was mentioned in the movie. Now we have Hades, who, again, not in the original. So, I don't know. I like Ralph Fiennes. I mean,
yeah, sure.
I got no problems with him.
No
but...
problem with Ralph Fiennes.
So we'll see where the Clash of the Titans movie goes.
Yeah.
All right. Rick Moranis.
Yep.
Remember all this talk about he's retired. He's a country music singer now. He doesn't want to do movies
he's
anymore.
A country music singer now?
He put out a CD, apparently.
Oh, that I wasn't aware
country
of.
Country music.
Okay.
I don't know why or where it was released.
Star of the Disney Honey Eye something franchise?
Yes, the Honey Eye.
The Honey
the
Eye.
Something franchise.
No, not
Oh, no, because he blew up something.
It's, it's just the Honey right. Eye franchise.
You are correct.
Honey, I Blew Up the Baby, I believe, is the sequel to that.
Well, apparently, according to Ivan Reitman, in an article with Entertainment Weekly, he will be appearing in Ghostbusters 3.
Uh-huh.
The movie, not the video game.
Yes, as?
I'm guessing as his role.
As a, what I
as
meant
a
to
Ghostbuster.
Say was as a cameo or as a...
I don't know yet. It's just news that he's actually agreeing to do something, considering
right.
he hasn't done anything in quite some time.
Right.
So, that's a bit of a change.
That is.
While we're talking about Rick Moranis,
uh-huh.
we should say that the Spaceballs animated series DVD, a series that I had read about but didn't even know ever hit the airwaves,
right?
Apparently is coming out this summer. I believe it is June of this year, June 16th, 2009. Runtime, 93 minutes. I believe it is 13 episodes. That is coming out this summer on DVD. Apparently it's running on G4 right now. Did Rick Moranis lend his voice to that show? I don't think so, right?
I don't know. Probably not.
I wonder who did the voice of
The original cast. I don't recall hearing any of them were doing voices. Certainly not John Candy.
Certainly not John Candy.
You know, because he's dead.
No, he definitely did not lend his voice to it. It looks like the last work he did was Brother Bear 2, which was voice work for Disney.
Ooh.
So, because Disney still owns his soul a little bit.
Guess so.
You watch Fringe? You don't watch that show, do you?
No. I couldn't. Why? Because it's like House meets X-Files.
It's like good.
Good for you.
All
you
right.
like it.
Well,
shove it down my throat.
I guess in a J.J. Abrams crossover, Leonard Nimoy is going to be making an appearance in a story arc on Fringe.
Nice. Good to see Spock getting some work.
Yeah, man. He's got to keep busy outside of conventions and tour. Well, he did the movie, so.
And taking art photographs of naked heavy women.
What?
Oh, yeah, sir. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
You Google Leonard Nimoy photography, and you see what comes up. Make sure your safe search is off, is all I'm saying.
Well, he's playing a very important character in the Fringe, mythos.
Okay. So.
He's playing a character that is often referenced on the show, but we've never seen, obviously, before. So
I know who it is.
Who?
The Smoking Man.
Boo.
What?
No, it's not The Smoking Man.
Okay, what? And who is it then?
It's William Bell, who was the one of the scientists that worked alongside of John Noble's character, Walter Bishop, on the show.
Gotcha.
So it's an important character on the show. Do you have anything else?
Yeah, tons, but why don't we take a break?
Okay.
Here.
All right.
And then we'll be right back with more on Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 143, Kuttner and Fish Sticks.
Combo Breaker!
ComboBreaker.com makes original video game t-shirts that gamers want to wear. Head over to ComboBreaker.com to shop for original gaming t-shirts based on some of the best games ever made. From the classics to the soon-to-be classics, check out ComboBreaker's first round of shirts featuring designs inspired by your old-school favorites like Simon's Quest, Metroid, Punch-Out, and Star Fox. And just in time for the long-anticipated release of Street Fighter IV, pre-order your Raging Demon t-shirt now. But that's not all. ComboBreaker.com also brings you unbiased reviews and a damn good podcast to boot. So head over to the iTunes store, search for Combo Breaker, and subscribe today.
If you're in the tri-state area, pick up your ComboBreaker.com apparel at Digital Press Video Games, 387 Piaget Avenue, Route 46 East, Clifton, New Jersey.
And for a limited time, visit ComboBreaker.com and enter coupon code GeekStuffXM during checkout for an extra 10% off your next order.
That's ComboBreaker.com for the best in original gamer designs.
You know it.
Combo Breaker!
Hey, 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 this is Haywood Nelson, Dwayne from What's Happening.
And this is Danielle Spencer, D from What's Happening.
Hey, and this is Ernest Thomas, better known as Raj from What's Happening. And you are listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
We are back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 143, Kuttner and Fish Sticks. Apparently.
Which apparently you like.
Apparently.
Let's talk about some product. There's been a lot of product stuff that we haven't been able to talk about, because it hasn't been out.
Right.
And some of it, that has, and just a bunch of things we want to touch on, here. And, we're going to start right here with, our pals over at Mezco. This is at long last, this has come out. It's a previews exclusive version of Jason Voorhees, from the new Friday the 13th movie. And this one has the head wrapping on it rather than the mask. Seven-inch figure. It is in essence the other figure, just without the hockey mask and with the head wrapping accessory. Now, why are we bringing this up? Who gives a shit? Well, me, one, as a fan, I like the fact that they have done this figure. Of course, in an ideal world, removable mask, removable head wrapping, one figure.
Obviously.
But if you're going to have to do an exclusive this way and it's going to come from previews, it should be something cool like this. So me, as a really big fan of the Friday the 13th series, I enjoy this. I enjoy the fact that they're putting out little different characters like this, and I like the fact that Mezco continues to put out not generic Jasons, but very movie specific Jasons. I think in their last line,
kitchen sink Jason.
No, not kitchen sink.
Hey, these all appear in the actual film.
Yes, exactly. Unlike McFarlane, who put out the first Jason action figure in their Movie Maniacs line,
right,
which had no distinction. It certainly was not, although it came with a little Friday the 13th little poster thing, it certainly was not the Jason from any of the Friday the 13th. It was kind of an idealized Jason. Two companies later, Mezco now has the line, and they're doing the specific Jasons that Friday the 13th fans would like to see. I'm pretty sure it was in their last line that they did the Jason from Friday the 13th Part 7.
Okay.
Which is, let me think, 4 was...
Well, 6 is Lives, right?
And Jason Lives. No, that was... Was that the
one? Was seven Jason? Six is at
seven
the end.
Was Jason
his head
lives.
Gets cut up in the motorboat.
No, yes, that's correct.
In
his throat. In his throat.
Yeah, okay.
He gets in the throat. Because in four, he's killed by little Tommy Jarvis, who is played by?
I don't know.
Corey Feldman, sir. Come
oh,
on.
Oh, right.
Keep up with the Friday 13th.
I'm not a Friday
13th. That was the final chapter.
Right.
And then part five Part five was A New Beginning, I believe is what it was. And then six was Jason Lives.
Okay.
If I'm correct in that assumption. But that said, back to the figure. Absolutely excellent. I think Mezco is doing a quality job with these horror character licenses, and I'm looking forward to more of them. Moving right along.
All right.
It's a piece that we were unaware of.
For a
little bit. Yeah. It snuck up on us, and I actually got my hands on one. The DC Direct Watchmen action figure series from the movie.
Right.
You know, we thought it was kind of long said and done. I found out, much to my chagrin, that they actually did an exclusive version of Unmasked Rorschach.
Which is good. We like Unmasked Rorschach.
Absolutely. For Toys R Us.
All right. This is where I'm confused. Toys R Us traditionally does not carry DC Direct product.
But they have now begun to carry DC Direct product.
What are they carrying specifically?
I saw Watchmen movie figures.
Okay.
I saw in 6-inch and 12-inch.
Okay.
And some other products as well. I can't give you specifics because I can't remember. But
so are you saying that Toys R Us might actually be becoming a good toy store again?
No. No, what I'm saying is that they happen to carry these products by no means.
I was exciting because while I certainly love some of our retailers that we visit and the online world and the con world, I do appreciate being able to walk into a toy store and buy a toy that I actually want that's not Star Wars.
Yes, that is a
or
long,
Transformers.
Yeah, that is a long time past, sir.
I know, but
you're longing for a bygone era, my friend.
Know.
Toys R Us, KBs are all gone now, and Toys R Us's are irrelevant.
I know.
So
it's just sad, though.
Well, sad though it may be.
I don't want to have to buy my toys at Hot Topic.
Hey, they got some good toys.
I'm not saying they don't.
Rorschach Special Edition, exclusive for Toys R Us. It has the exclusive Toys R Us sort of metallic
seal of approval
on here, which is happenstancely put on there. I have a feeling any second it's going to come off. I keep pressing it because I don't want it to come off.
That's a long-standing problem with Toys R Us exclusives.
Yes.
Any Star Wars Toys R Us exclusive that you have for longer than 8 months in its package, the sticker eventually, the glue dries out and the sticker falls off.
Glue is kind of a loose terminology.
Yeah, it's a spit.
This Unmasked Rorschach action figure is one that takes place after his arrest.
Okay.
He's all beat up and bruised. He's got some bloody modifiers on the face.
Is this like Antarctic?
No. After he's arrested, before they put him in jail.
Oh, before they put him in jail. I'm sorry.
And he's wearing actually the plaque that they hang on him when they take the picture, and it says his name, Walter Kovacs, and his little prisoner identification number on a plaque around his neck. And other than that, it's essentially the same as the other Unmasked Rorschach figure. But what's good about this is that they did it. They actually did another figure, which I think is very impressive because we were pretty sure that they weren't going to do anymore, even though we really think this is one that should have been done in the prison uniform.
I should say kudos to Toys R Us, by the way, for carrying a bloody variant of a figure.
Yeah, that's
a little out of left field for them. Typically, they always went for the family-oriented product. So,
right.
Bloody variant, not their bag.
And speaking of out of left field, DC Direct's Amicami series continues this week with two releases. Harley Quinn.
And Poison Ivy, right?
Poison Ivy, yes, sir. And this adds two new characters to the mix. I think they're both really well done. I got the Harley, obviously. What a big surprise. She's great. They are not poseable. I mean, they have some, like, maybe, I think her neck may be articulated here. I think that might be it.
Yeah, I collect the Batman
family franchise
of these Amikami figures.
Uh-huh.
And they're actually statues. I think the package actually calls them PVC statues.
Yes, it does.
So, yeah, there's not a whole lot of articulation, if at all, in any of them. So,
right. And this one, of course, what these are is essentially a anime inspired styled version of the character. She's in her traditional suit, albeit slightly stylized, and she's holding a cupcake with a little bomb in the top of
right.
it. It's a cute figure. The series overall is kind of meh, I think. But then I'm not the greatest. Not the greatest fan of this sort of thing. That said, our friend Gene St. John sculpted this.
Oh, figure. Very nice.
Yeah. So
we like
our long-standing friend. And I have to say, although I'm not a terrific fan of the character per se, Poison Ivy's hot.
Okay.
The Poison Ivy one is hot. I just have to say that.
All right.
Maybe it's the red hair. Or maybe it's the red hair, but she's hot.
Maybe it's the large, mostly exposed breasts.
that could be something to do.
That could be part of it.
Do you like when they do that sort of thing to these characters?
Yeah, despite the fact that I like fish sticks, yes. Night,
we turn on the black light. Let the Dungeons and the Dragons begin. It's D&D.
Oh, well, there's that music, Matt. We know what that means. It must be time for our D&D update.
Oh, goody.
For the week, yes. Our ongoing exploration, review, preview, whatever you like to call it, of the Dungeons & Dragons 4th Edition, brought to us by our friends over at Wizards of the Coast.
What do you got there? That's not a book.
Not a book, sir.
It's not a guide. It's not a DM screen or character sheet.
It's actually something you wish they had when we were playing.
I think I have an idea of what this is.
These are power cards.
Power cards.
Power cards.
Okay.
Now, what's a power card, you may ask? For about $10...
Okay.
You get what amounts to two kind of decks of these cards, okay? And they are specifically engineered, like the one we're looking at tonight here is for the Paladin. Here, Paladin power cards. And they have these for all of the classes from the first player's handbook, perhaps not the second player's handbook.
Yet. Right.
Okay. So, that said, what these are, you're going to love this. Your powers and abilities that are class oriented,
right?
They've put them on these cards.
Okay, so it's right? kind of a reference tool.
Exactly. So let's say we're playing. Let's say you're playing a paladin, and you have chosen amongst I'm randomly picking like it's a card trick. You've chosen during setup. You've chosen Bloodied Retribution as a power.
Sounds good.
This card, you would then take this card when you're playing. You could have that right in front of you, you know. And let's say it can be flipped up when it's available to you, and flipped down after you use it, so you know that you've already used that power, whatever the determination of time is. Now, Bloodied Retribution happens to be a daily power, which, if I'm not mistaken, means you can use it once a day.
Right.
It is color coded. The cards are all color-coded by what they are. Daily power, at-will power, encounter power, and a few others that are mixed in here, like utility power, for example. And you then have this card. It tells you everything you need to know about this spell or ability.
Okay.
It's terrific. So here we go. Bloodied Retribution. Battered and bloodied, you call upon your deity's divine power to deal a retributive blow to your enemy and heal your wounds. Okay? And it tells you what kind of action it is when you use it. It's a melee weapon thing. You target one creature. It's strength versus armor class. This is all the information you get on each one of these cards, sir.
That's nice.
The special, and then it tells you how to use it and so on and so forth. You can use this power only when you've been bloodied. You hit on a 4 plus a strength modifier, miss. What happens when you miss? You do half damage. You can spend a healing surge when you use this card to heal. It's terrific. It gives you all the information you need to use this this power. And there's 100 power cards in here, sir, including a few blank ones that you can customize for things of your own.
So this is replacing the scrap paper and pencil checkmark method of tracking your powers, abilities, and uses.
And not only that, but you're not scrambling, if you're not a rules lawyer, you're right. not scrambling in a book to find out what happens when you randomly cast magic armor and you miss and it hits a tree. It's a random example. I have no random.
That's not as random as a D1 roll.
Yes. But that said, they have these for all the classes that are out now. There are 100 cards, all sorts of powers and abilities and so on and so forth. What a terrific accompaniment to the player's handbook. You know, you have a group of people, you have one player's handbook, you're forever passing that book around. Not if you have power cards. And if you know what kind of character you're playing, you can buy your own power cards. They run about $10 for 100. I mean, come on. It's like, this is a beautiful tool. Beautifully priced, nicely packaged, very well done.
Small correction to what I just said so I don't get beat up by our gaming listeners. I didn't mean a D1. I meant a one roll on a D20.
You know what a D1 is?
Yeah,
nothing. Because there's no such right. thing.
I want to correct it now because inevitably someone will call me out on it and call me a schmuck and
know what a D1
make a postcard
is?
About it or know something
what,
bad.
Know what a D1 is?
What?
Marble.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a D1. D2? Nickel.
Nickel. That's it.
So there it is. It's power cards. You can check those out at your local game and hole, or you can go over to dndinsider.com. That's letter D, letter N, letter D, insider.com.
Okay.
And that is our D&D update for the week.
It's D&D. Warriors that terrify. It's D&D.
You know, before we move on from D&D news, Kuttner wasn't the only one that died this week. Dave Arneson, the other D&D guy.
Right.
Has passed away now.
The one no one cares about.
It's not very nice to say.
I'm just saying.
He put in a lot of hard work to bring us that game.
Let me ask you a question.
What?
If Daryl Hall died, everybody would be like, oh, Daryl Hall died. If John Oates died, nobody would care.
Yeah.
Let me give you another example. George Michael.
Right?
George Michael died. Everybody would be like, oh, man, George Michael died. If the other guy from Wham, we don't even know his name.
The other guy
from
Wham.
If that guy died, nobody would care.
Right.
That's all I'm saying.
Is he dead, maybe, the other guy?
I don't even know.
Is George Michael dead?
I don't know. But let's move on.
Let's move on.
While we're cooking along on the bandwagon here, let's talk about this feller. This is Sideshow's latest Star Wars release. And, of course, after long last, my prayers have been answered to an extent. It's the Stormtrooper.
Right.
Episode 4, 5, and 6 version of the Stormtrooper. Done in the only way that Sideshow knows how to do anything. Absolutely awesomely.
I'm so not used to seeing any kind of trooper in just nice, pristine white armor. There's no markings. It's not dirty. There's no crazy emblems. There's no appeared in frame 00100 of an episode. It's just nice to see a classic Stormtrooper.
Now, that said,
yes,
this figure is not without its problems.
Uh-oh. What did you do, Sideshow?
Not they've done nothing wrong per se. It's the unfortunate part about a character like this is the fact that Sideshow is so focused on the detail and they want so desperately to get it right for all of us. God bless them for that. That unfortunately some things get lost. So in the case of this Stormtrooper here, there is the figure's not molded. He has a black sort of jumpsuit on underneath. The helmet is not removable, but he has the black sort of skin tight underneath, and then all the armor pieces
are
individual armor pieces on top of it. So where's the problem? Well, the problem is that some of these pieces, based on where they are problematic. And I'm guessing, true to realism, I'm guessing that probably the poor souls that had to wear these uniforms during the movies may have had the same issues. For example, the shoulders tend to ride up.
Right up a bit. I saw that.
Yeah. And it kind of makes it look a little bit like he has no neck because of the way the shoulders sit. Or it looks like one of the Andrews sisters is a stormtrooper. But that said, it's an easy adjustment to kind of to make that work a little bit better. His chest and back piece are a little awkward in the way that they sit on his body here. They're not really connected at the sides, so to speak.
Okay.
Which is a little odd. I'm not exactly sure why that is. We should say it's a 12-inch figure. It's fully articulated. Comes with the blaster, alternate hands, the stand, the whole thing. You could check this out on an upcoming episode of Studio V.
Ooh,
where we'll talk more about it. And the only thing I want to add here, and I'll talk about this during the Studio V thing too, is something I never understood, which was about the knees of this stormtrooper.
Okay, something's off.
They don't match. They never have. Not even in Star Wars. And I never understood why.
Do they? Maybe they kneel down.
What, and
they
you
go
think
in that crouch
you
position.
Think that braces them somehow?
Yeah,
like,
look at it. It looks like that's actually what it looks like. It looks like it's some sort of like it's
bracing.
Some sort of means of bracing or balance for when they go in that crouched shoot. Look, they can't aim standing straight.
Yeah, I understand.
Let alone in a crouched position. So I guess any kind of bracing they can give them
right.
is a plus.
Well, that said, it's just something that drew my attention. Maybe we'll explore that a little more in the Studio V episode when we discuss this piece there. That said, it's out now. It's kind of in range with the whatever these other figures are fetching. I guess about $80 thereabouts.
Between like 60 and 80, I think. So.
And there it is. It's a classic Stormtrooper. That's what I call them. The classic Stormtrooper episode 4, 5, and 6, and it's from our friends over at Sideshow. Again, look for it soon, live studio.
You know, later this year, Classic Vader, 12 inches coming, finally.
I did hear that.
He's pretty.
He's bigger than 12 inches.
Yeah, well, yes, but he's 12-inch scale.
Yes.
Yes.
Let's talk about DVDs.
All right.
That'll be a short segment.
Nice.
We're only going to talk about two because that's all I felt were worth talking about.
Oh, Jesus.
And even they're kind of like, really? Okay, we got to talk about something. The first one up is the remake of The Day the Earth Stood Still.
Really? Wow, you were pulling. You're stretching.
Yeah, starring Keanu Reeves and Jennifer Connelly. Didn't do so hot in the theater.
Not so much.
But that's okay. If you like remakes of classic sci-fi, I'm sure this is fine. I didn't get to see this one. I'm actually excited because I am a fan of the 1951 film.
Now, is this the version that... Does this come with both versions of the film?
Yes, I was going to mention that. Disc 3, if you get the 3-disc special edition, actually contains the original 1951 movie.
That almost might be worth it for me since I don't think I own the original on disc.
Yeah, so it's kind of a nice package, the 3-disc, because you do get the remake, you do get the original, you get all the special features and things that you've come to expect to be included in these DVDs these days. Absolutely worth, I think, at least a viewing or two because you get both.
Fair enough.
That's what I think.
Okay.
It's classic sci-fi, sir. And of course, if you get it at Best Buy OG, you can get the Gort Metal Collectible, which
isn't that nice?
Yeah, Triple B handed me this, and my wrist almost broke. He weighs a ton. He's about 5 inches tall, 4 or 5 inches tall. He's the original robot from the 1951 version of the film, and he's all metal, and he just kind of stands.
He's a paperweight.
Yeah, kind of. He's kind of a cool paperweight, though.
Put him
nice
on your
packaging.
Desk.
He's produced by our friends at Rocket USA. We've talked about their products. You can check those guys out over at rocketusa.com. And he is free with your purchase of The Day the Earth Stood Still or $19.99 if you wanted to buy him separate. They're pricing them by the pound, apparently. So, yeah. So that's that. The Tale of Despero.
Now, I've wanted to see this.
I did too, but I was unaware that we missed it.
On DVD, you mean?
No, in the movie theaters.
Oh yeah, well, it was up for an Academy Award this year, wasn't it? In the animated features.
Yeah, I think it was showing exactly how small that category was this year. I got the Best Buy exclusive collectible lunchbox packaging on this one. It's the animated tale of a medieval mouse, if you will, voiced by Matthew Broderick, I believe. And there's a whole bunch of people doing terrific voices in here. I've heard good things about the movie, but I haven't seen it, so I can't tell you. What I can tell you is the Best Buy exclusive version is the same price as the regular version, whether you get with the lunchbox or without. Lunchbox is nice. You know, tin lunchbox, metal lunchbox has pictures and all sorts of things on it. It's a nice exclusive. You can always use a lunchbox. You don't have to use it for lunch. You can put your bits in it.
It's collectible. Nobody knows.
I don't mean your personal bits. I mean like your extra pieces.
Like my junk, you mean?
Yes, like your extra Stormtrooper hands, for example.
Right,
you could store all that kind of stuff in a box, and it's very nice.
I have a Muppets Bits box.
In comics this week, comics for you to check out, it's the Mice Templar sketchbook from our friend Mike Oeming. And this is a book that we've been talking about for a long, long, long time. Not to be confused with Mouse Guard.
No.
This is the other book. Don't do that.
Why?
They're different books.
They're
sir.
Both very, very good.
Yes.
I'm just allowed to say I like one more than the other.
Just saying.
I'm allowed to say I like one more than the other. I'm entitled
Sketchbook
to my opinion.
Contains lots of pre-versions of these characters in the book here, lots of design work, and then it contains a really great bonus story called The Sacrifice, which actually the art is not by our pal Mike Oeming. It's by Victor Santos, different fella.
You know, Mike Oeming, I think, did at least one, if not all, of the Incredibles covers for Boom Studios
yes.
a couple weeks back.
Yeah,
I don't know if we mentioned that on the show, but
I don't know.
They're pretty nice covers if you're a fan of that Disney movie, The Incredibles.
And then in the back, then there's a lot of Mike Oeming's pinups and an advertisement that say that the Mice Templar returned in the summer of 2009. So more of
nice.
Mice Templar stuff is coming. I thought the first arc was really terrific. Here's a nice bookend book to that collection. Maybe they might want to have included this in the hardcover that came out recently.
The sketchbook?
I don't think this was in there.
Well, of course not. It's a reason to get it.
I understand.
Outside of the hardcover.
It's a nice hardcover book, sir. Just saying. DC Comics gives us Batman Battle for the Cowl, number 2.
Yippee-skippy.
And actually, sir, I don't know.
Is it good?
It's.
I thought you didn't like the first one.
No,
I haven't read it yet because I'm waiting for yours. But...
I'm a little confused,
okay.
But I'm interested.
All right.
And all of this stuff is going to end in June. So we got one more of these in May, and then whoever is going to be Batman is going to be him. And we're already seeing advanced artwork for the new Batman and Robin book. So it's pretty clear to me that Damian, Batman's son, will be Robin in that book, it looks like.
Oh.
That said, can I bring up...
I'm not comfortable with that.
Can I just say something right here?
You bring up whatever you want.
Everybody keeps asking me, so this is where I stand. Yeah, you know what people are always asking me? How come every small child that's evil has a name that is Damien or like Damien because of that Omen movie? South Park, the little devil kid is named Damien. Batman's little demonish son, that little freak, is also named Damien. Why is that? Why can't the son of Satan be called Steve? Why can't Batman's illegitimate bastard killer son be called Joe or Bobby? Why does it have to be a name that invokes other versions of little demon children like Damien from The Omen? I don't understand it. Well, I think it's crap. I think if I were naming Batman's son, I would have named my I would have named him Joseph, or I would have named him Billy, or something that was not related to any other previous incarnation of a somewhat evil or demonic child. And that is where I stand. So yeah, that's where I stand on that.
You're very spirited.
People want to know. People ask, and so I feel like I have to respond. Rounding out comics this week.
I hope your first kid's name is Damien.
I would rather doubt it. You know, they don't come out with a name. You get to pick it.
Oh, is yes. that how it is?
I've already picked it. I'm not saying what it is. Marvel is giving us The Wonderful Wizard of Oz, an ongoing book by Schanauer and Scotty Young. Absolutely fantastic. Issue 5 is out this week of 8. It's more than halfway through now. What a terrific, terrific adaptation. I'm waiting for the trade.
Right.
Yeah, the trade is going to be really sweet. I hope they do an oversized trade on that one. And finally, a new book from Avatar Press. It's called Ignition City. It's written by Warren Ellis and illustrated by Gianluca Pagliarani.
Okay.
It's some
like
sort
Warren
of...
Ellis.
Sir?
I like Warren Ellis.
Yes. It's some sort of futuristic action something, technology something. It felt to me a little bit like that show you like by Joss Whedon. What is it?
I said it last week. You don't get it 2 weeks in a row.
All right, I'll say it. Firefly. It felt a little bit like that, a little bit more of a modern edge, but I don't know. There was something technologically nice
is
about it.
Is it steampunky?
It is a little bit steampunky. It is. But I haven't gotten through the issue yet, but I like what I'm seeing so far, the design, the artwork, and so on and so forth. Again, has nothing to do with the fact that the lead female is a hot redhead, nothing whatsoever to do with it. I'm
Nothing.
Just saying that I like it.
That's all right. It.
And that's comics for this week.
I think that's it for this week.
Maybe
we should take a break.
Okay, let's take that break, and we'll be right back with the wrap-up, Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 143, Kuttner and Fish Sticks.
Hey, Kev, I just got a new bag of Cadbury Mini Eggs, my favorite Easter candy. They're solid milk chocolate eggs with a crisp sugar shell. Check out these ingredients, of which I'm going to read for you right now. Milk chocolate, sugar, milk, cocoa butter, chocolate lactose, soy lecithin, PGPR, emulsifiers, artificial and natural flavors, sugar, contains 2% less cornstarch, gum acacia, artificial colors, yellow 5, blue 2, red 40, yellow 6, lake, and blue 2 lake, and ethyl vanillin, artificial flavors. Cadbury Mini Eggs.
Available for a limited time.
Available at a store near you.
Worst commercial gimmick ever.
Hey, this is Judah Friedlander, the world champion from 30 Rock and Stand Up, and you are listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff, because you're a winner.
And we are back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 143, Kuttner and Fish Sticks.
Mm-hmm. What's your problem?
I get to name these shows.
What?
That's my problem.
Do you not like fish sticks?
I don't like fish sticks.
That's a lie. Too late. You're already on tape as liking them.
What did we talk about tonight?
That is quite the question.
Jackie Earle Haley is going to be your new Freddy Krueger. Hugh Jackman is crying, and so is Roger Friedman. Jackman because the movie got leaked, Friedman because his ass got fired. Rick Moranis is coming back in Ghostbusters 3, Spaceballs the Animated, DVD coming to you in June.
Brand new Hellboy novel, The Fire Wolves by Tim Lebon, is out from Dark Horse. When the needle
hits wax, Umbrella Academy coming to you from Dark Horse and Universal Pictures sometime in the near future. Leonard Nimoy making an appearance in an arc of Fringe And Ralph Fiennes is going to be in the Clash of the Titans remake that's not really a remake.
Go over to Mezco Toys, MEZCOTOYZ.com, and check out the previews exclusive Jason Voorhees from the new Friday the 13th film. This is the one without the mask. He just has the wrapping on his head. The DC Direct Watchmen Toys R Us exclusive is Rorschach. The post-arrest Rorschach, that's what I'll call it, has the name tag around his throat. He's beat up and bloodied, and he's from Toys R Us only, sir. DC Direct also has
Amikami.
Yeah, that. Harley Quinn and Poison Ivy, continuing their anime-inspired line of PVC statues. That's a nice, we neglected to mention, it's about a $50 price tag.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And they're very nice, so check that out over at dccomics.com/DC Direct, I believe is what it is. We also talked about the brand new Stormtrooper, classic Stormtrooper from Star Wars Episodes 4, 5, and 6. 12-inch, fully articulated, fully cool figure from Sideshow Collectibles, SideshowToys.com, I think is where you can check that one out. Alternate hands, guns, individual armor pieces, very nice. Has a couple little problems here and there, nothing we're going to lose our shirt about. And tonight in our D&D update, we talked about power cards, D&D's brand new accessory thing, if you will, helper thing. It's 100 cards for $10. They are organized by class. So if you're playing a paladin, you buy the paladin box. Inside is 100 cards with different paladin spells and abilities and things. You have all the information right at your fingertips for those particular spells. Check out dndinsider.com for more info. Letter D, letter N, letter D, insider.com.
We also mentioned the passing of Dave Arneson, the other yes. D&D guy.
Yeah, so
how
both.
Very sad.
That's right. Both D&D creators are now dead.
No
and nobody cares about the fact that Arneson is dead. I'm just saying.
Gygax was the face.
Yeah, that's right. He was the pretty one. Arneson was the workhorse.
That's right.
In DVDs this week, it's The Day the Earth Stood Still, the remake of the 1951 classic. You want to check out the 3-disc special edition for both the Keanu
Absolutely.
Reeves version and the original 1951 version. And also, The Tale of Despero comes out at a 3G, nice.
Yeah?
3D animated movie, three-dimensional. Not 3D like Friday the 13th 3D, but, you know, it looks animated, but it's in that 3D style. I'm just making
I don't even know where to go with this.
I'm just making the distinction. I bought the Best Buy Lunchbox exclusive version for the same price as the regular version, I'd like to
Nice.
Add. And if you buy it at Best Buy, as we said earlier, you get the Gort robot metal collectible. He comes with it. He's either $19.99 or free if you buy the Earth Stood Still.
Oh,
so check that out from our pals over at Rocket USA Incorporated.
Oh, nice.
In comics this week, we want you to check out the Mice Templar sketchbook. It's very good. Batman Battle for the Cowl number 2. Wonderful Wizard of Oz number 5. And Ignition City number 1. Brand new book from Warren Ellis and the Avatar Company. So there it is at last.
Don't forget, you can check us out each and every week over at BigKevsGeekStuff.com. We have the episodes of the show over there. We have some video content over there. If you don't check us out at our own website, or you happen to be surfing the interwebs and you stumble upon Radio Gotham or Homegrown Radio New Jersey, you can actually check out our episodes over there as well. And I think that's it. Oh, yeah, T-shirts. We have T-shirts.
Oh, good one. We have T-shirts.
How to get that in there.
You can buy the official T-shirt
you
over at
the
website.
You can buy the official T-shirts.
And, yeah.
I think that's it, right?
Think so. OG, do you have any final words for Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 143, Kuttner and Fish Sticks?
Just closed my eyes and sucked it out of a tube.
Sucked it out of a tube, huh?
And on that note, we cue the music.
We'll be right back. come to this. We try to warn you all, but oh dear. You may not share our intellect, which might explain your disrespect for all the natural wonders that grow around you. We've got that most of you is sweet, especially tiny tots in your bed.
We would all have learned to sing.